Well, right now, we can't deny the fact that personal brand really has a huge factor in business, whether you're building an e-com or digital product, right? If you just want to like have consistent leads over time, investing in your personal brand is a brilliant idea. It's a good investment. So I noticed that introverts really take time in showing up and gaining momentum to be visible. But extroverts, they gain momentum by being seen everywhere.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcast, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new client. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious marketing and management tasks in your agency for less than $15 an hour, fully managed. When you're tired of hiring cheap, unreliable talent, check out ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes monthly.
Hey guys, good morning and welcome to another episode of None of Your Business. Today we're going to talk about entrepreneurs that are introverts, ambiverts, and what it really means to still show up for your business, even if you might not be feeling it, even if you don't identify as someone extroverted like me. And this will also give us a little bit of an insight on what goes on in these three profiles of entrepreneurs: an ambivert, someone who's both an introvert and an extrovert, a full extrovert, which I think is mostly me, although I do have some moments where I need to recharge and just be at home, be by myself. And a lot of people are identify as introverts. So there's so many angles to this, and today I have a special guest. So my guest, Hannah, she is a brand strategist and founder of her brand Legacy and Vias.co, that's Vias.co, where she helps entrepreneurs and CEOs scale their presence with AI-powered content and bold personal branding. This is perfect for ambiverts and introverts, by the way. And she has also launched SaaS brands, grown personal brands to millions of views, and she's passionate about helping women leaders show up authentically while building lasting influence. So, Hannah, welcome, and how are you doing today?
I'm so excited to be here, Carla. Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor. And I'm just so excited about this conversation that we're going to have today.
Yeah, so quick background, Hannah and I are actually working together to develop my AI twin. And I
Yeah.
have seen the first like five videos, and it's really amazing. So if you guys are looking for a super affordable, and honestly, the one of the best experiences I have, non-intimidating, about developing your AI twin. If you want to take the guesswork out of it, she has a super affordable package. She's also growing her beta test program. So if you can be one of the 20 people to message her, you will not regret it. For under $200, you can get 10 custom AI videos and you can get your AI twin developed for you. So for me, honestly, I have a team, I have video editors and all that. That wasn't the difficult part. The difficult part is getting the right information so that I can develop an AI twin that actually speaks, looks, and moves like me. And I love it. So better talk to Hannah. I will share her link in the show notes. And I want you to know that she's not just doing the introvert, extrovert, ambivert thing for fun. This is also deeply ingrained in her business. And she works with all types of entrepreneurs. And she uses AI to help anyone show up in their business and for their business, by the way. So give us a quick background, Hannah. How did you get into branding work, and how did you get into AI and using AI for branding?
Of course, but first, thank you again for mentioning about my work. I'm really passionate about AI avatars at the moment. And to go back to your question, how did this start? It's because I'm the person who has a lot going on. in my personal life behind a social media, right? So what happened was, like, I know the fact that for me to grow my business, I need to grow my personal brand. And it's been like a struggle for me to be consistent, to show up and edit. And just, of course, as a woman, we want to look our best. And it's not always like I'm in my ovulation moment, you know? There are times that I feel like I'm in my luteal phase, I'm my period, I have this and that. And yeah, I thought of a solution. Why not, like, show up online and someone do it for me? What's it gonna look like if someone does it for me? And yeah, and I figured, oh yeah, I avatar going on, and I tried it myself, and yeah, it's actually pretty good, and it keeps evolving. So I've had fun recently just experimenting on it on myself as well.
Yeah, that's really, really good because sometimes as entrepreneurs, our journey is not really a straight line. And it's good that you were able to use AI and learn it. Give us a little bit of insight. Was it easy for you to learn AI for branding to really determine how this helped the people that you wanted to help? And how did you decide, I want to help this type of person, like female coaches, female entrepreneurs?
Well, personally, it has always been a part of my trait, I would say, to learn something new, because I used to be a teacher. So the growth mindset and learning new things and keeping myself and improving is a part of basically who I am and what I want to become. So yeah, it has been like a challenge, of course, at start, because there's a lot of new things. Being a millennial, it's not something that we just grew up with. So it was a challenge, but it's actually very easy as long as, like, you're very into it. Like, you really take time to learn it. So to answer your question, like, why women? It's because I really just relate with the feeling, you know, that I
The
just want to
journey, yeah.
The journey that I just want to show up that it's authentic, but also be at my best state so I can serve better.
Yeah, I totally resonate with that, especially because I'm in outsourcing and I do notice a difference between my male and female clients. To be honest with you, a lot of women might not want to hear this, but I think a lot of female entrepreneurs try to do everything themselves most of the time. And they have trouble asking for help. So I think though that you helping them like preserve their energy for what really matters for their business or what their business needs in that particular moment to grow, despite the pressures of having to show up on social media and even on your web and someone's websites and newsletters, AI can really help a lot on these things. So let's set the stage on how you usually meet your clients. Do you notice right away if they are introverts or extroverts? And what about the people that you also meet in real life?
That's a really good question. So when I meet my clients, especially during the brand strategy calls, I can usually tell within the first 5 minutes if it either they're introvert, ambivert, or extrovert. So usually extroverts are quick to fill in the space, like they just want to, like, get into it. Like, there's just and they really want to lead the conversation most of the time. And while introverts, however, they pause more, they really choose their words carefully, and sometimes they apologize for something not being clear. Yeah, I love working with both, but introverts also remind me of myself when I was first starting building my business, because showing up felt heavy for me as I was starting and, like, doing the, online thing. But deep down, I had something really that I want to say. And person as well, because I'm traveling, right? So currently I'm in Bali and I'm living here at the moment. So I meet lots of people in different from different parts of the world. So most of the time I spend it in co-working spaces and at church. So from those places, you can see who gravitates to the crowd, who prefers the corner. And as an ambivert, at first I become a corner observer. So Yeah, I like observing people more before I become the front of the stage person. So,
You take your time.
I take my time, just to feel in the crowd, what's the vibe. And then once I feel into it, oh, okay, I can be comfortable here. I can be myself. I feel safe. And then I just get into it.
Yeah,
So.
I love that. And I love what you shared about like your little signs on if someone is an introvert or an extrovert or more of an ambivert. I agree with you. Extroverts have no problem taking up space, leading the conversation. And I can definitely relate because I think I wouldn't say I'm 100% extrovert, but I'm definitely probably 80% because I realize that I thrive off of other people's energy. And it's hard for me to even like go for a week without like seeing other people. And I crave the energy of other people. It's also good for me to see like the best in them all of the time, which sometimes honestly doesn't serve me because I'm too optimistic sometimes about people. And I noticed with like some people that I know are pure introverts, they tend to actually have the negative impression of most people and they feel unsafe around people. So I think a good balance is definitely useful for business. And what do you, with the people that you work with, how would you classify? Are they mostly introverts or ambiverts based on the people that you're doing these AI twins for?
That's a good question. Actually, I would say it's a mix, but majority are introverts.
I
Well,
see.
I would say introverts in terms of like they just don't want to show up really online, maybe because they're just busy doing what they want to do in real life. But yeah, these are also like the people who just want to take more time spending it in person. Like these are really people who are really intentional with their time as well, that they rather put it like in a face-to-face meeting or a call. So that's where I come in and help them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Based on your experience, do you think being an introvert like makes business harder?
Ooh, that's a really good question. So, well, I would say not hard. In some aspects, it gets slower, especially in visibility, because, well, right now we can't deny the fact that personal brand really has a huge factor in business, whether you're building an e-com or a digital product, right? If you just want to like have consistent leads over time, investing in your personal brand is a brilliant idea. It's a good investment. So I noticed that introverts really take time in showing up and gaining momentum to be visible. But extroverts, they gain momentum by being seen everywhere. Like, so I noticed as well that introverts, they like creating this resonance in right places before they really go into it. Like, they really want to like sit with it. Like, is this really what I want to be known for? Like, what I want to say, what my message is. Sometimes I feel like they're overthinking it, but the difference with extroverts is just like, let's freaking go.
Let's
Let's
do
just
it. I
go
don't
for it.
care.
Yeah, let's just do it. If it's not, then let's just move on and keep doing another thing. But they just keep showing up, you know?
You're absolutely
So.
right. One of my Facebook friends, I've been following him for a while, Alex Becker. He's a very successful entrepreneur. He had like I think a nine-figure exit or something like that. He posted a picture, a screenshot of a YouTube video from like 10 or 14 years ago where he was so he said he was so cringe. He said he was like every time he looks back at that video, it makes him laugh and it makes him embarrassed. But he was thinking of taking it down, but then he realized I wanted to send a message to all entrepreneurs that when you're starting, you're gonna do a lot of cringe things and you might regret it, but it is the people that are brave enough to be cringe, to risk being cringe, that really succeed in the business. And I really like that. I really like that thought that extroverts, I think, have no fear of looking or sounding cringe. And they're the types of people that will ask for forgiveness rather than permission. And I think also, I agree with you that it does make it easier in business because it makes the decision shorter. Like, you know what? I'll just do this. I have a friend the other day who I was chatting about like lead gen. He recently started an AI and automations agency, and he used to be in the car rental industry, so a big jump. And then he asked me how I found my first few clients, how I got to seven figures in a year without spending anything on ads. And I told him everything I did. And his face just, oh my God, it was so funny. He was just like, I'm not doing that. So I'm doing cold calling, I'm doing cold emailing. So he's doing all these other things that don't require for showing up. And it's funny because it's the opposite for me. So now I'm considering cold emailing, cold calling. I'm talking to a few people because I'm willing to explore those things as well. So, have
Very
you tried
interesting.
those before, by the way, like the cold stuff?
Cold stuff. Actually, that was my route when I was starting my first company. So I used
Wow.
to do my marketing as creative agent, right? And also I was more of an introvert before. So I was doing a lot on cold email outreach, cold Instagrams, and not really on what you're doing. Or were you doing like a face cold calling? What was that?
Like they just find like phone numbers and like profiles of people and they just like cold call, something like that. So I've never tried it. I've never tried anything cold before.
Yeah, like what's the other one around though? I'm curious.
The other what? Cold email.
So the guy was doing cold email and you were doing.
Well, I haven't done anything cold. So he's doing cold email, cold calling. I'm just curious about it, but so far all of our leads have been inbound.
Amazing,
Yeah.
amazing. Yeah,
Referrals,
so.
I would say, are probably the coldest, but even though it's still pretty warm. It's still pretty warm.
Yeah, that's the
Yeah.
total opposite. Yeah, that makes
I
sense.
know. I know. So that was funny to me. Like as an extrovert, my journey is the opposite. And then because he was like, I'm gonna cold call, I'm gonna cold email, and if that doesn't work, fine, I'll show my face on social media. I think the other thing that he was considering also is Reddit marketing, because it also doesn't require you to show your face. Pretty interesting how different our journeys are based on our personality. So, yeah. But there, you know what? To all the entrepreneurs listening, there is space for you, whatever, like in the industry, whatever personality you have, you just have to find the perfect path. So, I'm gonna get a little bit more personal with you, Hannah. What parts of showing up in your business feel the most draining for you, and how do you recover?
So for me, it's when I feel pressured to perform, actually. I used to do, I tried actually the route of like consistently posting every day because I just heard that, yeah, maybe it's gonna grow your brand. It's gonna make, like give you influence and like have these warm leads reaching out to you. So just post every day. But it also gave me like this pressure to look like in a certain way and appear in a certain way every day. So it was draining to not be in your authentic self. And content used to feel like I had to always be on smiling, high vibe, and I find it not sustainable. And what recovery is leaning back in silence, journaling, what led me here in Bali for just and fighting myself, right? I just disappear on my phone for a bit, and that's when my creativity actually refills. And yeah, the truth of the matter as well is because like in a month, our cycle is not always high vibe. There are really times that I just really want to be a potato or just stay at home and watch
Exactly.
Netflix,
I want to
right?
rot in bed. I always tell my husband that
Exactly.
when my time of the month comes, I tell him I want to rot in bed. Just leave me alone.
Exactly. So it's kind of draining to like appear every day in a certain way.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And once you grow your business, there's also another level of showing up that's needed, which is showing up as a leader. So your teammates will look up to you, your managers will look up to you. And these people, they look up to you as like a pillar, right? They will go to you for advice, they go to you for your thoughts, your insights, and in a way, honestly, they expect you to be fully on all the time, mentally. So I would say that is another thing to expect once you start a business, another level of showing up. So thanks for sharing. Do you have a social battery ritual? Like, I know you mentioned journaling, meditating. Are there anything else, any other activities that you do to recharge after heavy, like, people-facing tasks?
So for me, I love my church community here in Bali. So that's what actually I enjoy going out with. I'm also like very like how do you call that? I prefer meeting people in an intimate group, like a small group. So if I feel drained, I just call my besties. There's just three of us, and just we just go for a massage. Just sit by the beach, watch the sunset. That's like my
Yeah.
social battery reset.
Yeah.
Just have a good matcha, Bali life.
Bali life.
I think in Mexico, isn't that the same?
It's actually similar because of where I am specifically. Bali and Playa del Carmen are very alike. We also have 5 million life coaches here. So, life coaches, digital nomads, online entrepreneurs, crypto bros. So, it's very similar to Bali in that sense. But one thing that I noticed with everything you shared is a lot of your recharge activities are related to nature. So, even matcha, right? Like it's more natural, obviously, compared to like a Coca-Cola or a cocktail, which I don't shame people that relax with a cocktail or with wine. Like that's your journey. And I can relate. Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it's just good to have one glass of good wine. Yeah, exactly. So that's what I think that was my takeaway. It's like I think a good way to recharge is to go back to nature, hug a
True.
tree, ground yourself, just look at the blue sky. Honestly, I actually learned that from my therapist. Just look at the every time you feel sad or down or you feel hopeless, just look at the blue sky and think that the world is so big. Remind yourself that you're so small and your worries are actually so small compared to the abundance of the universe and
Oh,
what like God has provided you. So I really like that thought. For me, I read a paper book or a Kindle book about like psychological thriller, like finding who the murderer is. Like that is relaxing to me. Or watch a trashy reality TV show on Netflix.
oh,
It's like my brain vacation. Like I just want my brain to not work.
think about outside work. And I think it's also me telling myself that I don't need to earn my rest. So, yeah, there are times that I just really go near the beach, not because I feel tired or after a busy day, but I just go there because I just want to. And I don't need to feel to chill just because I earn it. But it's also part of my work to feel. To feel rested, to feel good, so I can be productive.
I totally agree with that. Another thing that I could share on that note, thank you for sharing. That's awesome. Not earning your rest is calling my own weekends. So sometimes if I look at my calendar and I don't have calls all day, I have days where I have zero calls. Actually, most days I would have one or two calls, and then today I have like four. It's been crazy in my business lately, so that's fine. But some days I have zero. So if I have zero calls, I work a little bit, but I mostly just call it a weekend. Like I would go to the grocery, I would do something like I would like change our sheets or like deep clean our like fridge or something like that. But I would do something that is completely not related to work and just enjoy it. Sometimes I would spend hours at the spa or at the beach or reading a new book, doing something different, play golf, something like that. I think that's also another brain vacation that someone could easily take because I feel like that need of, oh, I need a vacation. I think it is mostly because you don't take little vacations in your life or you haven't integrated. How do you take a vacation? You're already in Bali, like the vacation capital.
Oh my God, that's a really tricky question. Since I got here, I feel like I have to be also very intentional with it because personally, I'm in a vacation place. So actually, my
Yeah,
friends
same. Yeah.
that, oh, you're in Bali just partying. No, I locked here. That's
Exactly.
what they don't see. Like, I came here to be locked in. And to be honest, I feel like I've been working here more than I went when I was back in the Philippines.
Yeah.
But I have to also really be intentional with it. Because sometimes when it's just like near our proximity, we tend to take it for granted. Oh, it's just there. I'm gonna do it tomorrow. Then turns out you're not
Yeah,
doing it.
true, true.
Right? So even in my first 4 months here in Bali, I figured that I didn't really went to the beach.
Oh,
Imagine.
I can relate. I can relate.
I
Yes,
live
yes.
10 minutes right away from the beach, and I didn't even go there to dip my toes.
Yeah.
So we
Don't
have to
feel
do.
bad. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Yeah. To make you feel better, I'm worse. I actually live a block away from the beach. And
no.
there are honestly probably 1 or 2 full months I haven't even gone to the beach or my feet hasn't touched sand. So I need to be better on that. So, what are your ways to connect or network, like where you are, and what have you noticed among introverts in terms of what is your advice for introverts in networking? Let's go with
I love
that.
the question. I love the question because I personally think that I'm not there yet as an extrovert in networking.
Yeah.
So my approach is really a bit shy type. Maybe that's me being Filipino, I don't know. But I find it more effective for me to network in a common interest or common hobby place. Like, let's say I'm going to Pilates and my seatmate there. So I just do small talks, and then if we already have a common ground, then that's where we start talking. What else? I really find also like spiritual community, since there's a common ground as well in terms
Right.
of Christian.
It makes it
So
easier to relate.
exactly,
Yeah.
there's already something to talk about.
Right.
Instead of going to networking events, I tried it once here when
Yeah.
I was
New.
around the area. So, yeah, I kind of like felt clueless and overwhelmed because I feel like I have to keep being proactive and approach someone. And yeah, I'm just afraid of that feeling awkward in a situation that I don't know how to exit. Like, what should I say next? So, I think as an introvert, the best way for you to network is to do it first in a common happy place.
Right.
Or how about for you, Carla?
I think what I've noticed is that what is really important, honestly, in networking is listening. And sometimes what I notice with extroverts is that they are only concerned or obsessed about hearing their own voice.
Ooh.
And to be honest, that I don't blame them because if they're unaware, hearing your own voice actually activates dopamine in your body. There is actually a sense of achievement that we feel every time we hear our own voice. And this is why if you fight with your spouse or your boyfriend, sometimes you just want to talk and talk and talk. Because in that moment, you don't feel good about yourself and you want to cope. And your body doesn't know what to do because all of your neurons are firing and you have this heightened emotion, which is anger. So your body actually doesn't know what it's doing. It's like short-circuiting. And this is why we yell. And I think this is why we talk and talk and talk instead of being calm or being like understanding. I think that's what happens. And I noticed that over my years of networking as an extrovert, what I've really worked so hard first is my memory. I shared about this about In the past, I used to be one of those people who forget names. Like I would be in a networking event and then we'd be talking, and be like, oh my God, can you tell me what your name is? I forgot, you know. And I told myself I need to get rid of that. And that's a limiting belief. So I taught myself how to remember names and how to remember a lot of things. And as I do this, I realize that it's not just about the names, it is about being fully present in the moment and listening. And so I think if you are an introvert, such a long-winded way for me to say my tip, but I think if you're an introvert, one way that you could actually even have an advantage over an extrovert in networking is if you listen and if you give that person full attention. And I'll teach you a little trick. ask them questions, be interested in their life, because the
Yes.
person that you always feel affinity to is actually not the person who talks all the time, but the person who's most interested in your life. I
That
think
is.
that that is really what cements the deal in terms of who you vibe with in a networking event. And in a networking event, you just want to make a good impression.
Yeah. And I actually remember what my boyfriend gave me this advice because he's an expert networker. So one thing for you to be unforgettable in networking events is for you to be, like you said, be curious about their life outside as well of business.
Yes, that's true. That's true. That's why I always ask about children, hobbies, what do you do for fun? You know, when you're not working, who are you? Like questions like that, because it reminds them that they're human, especially for networking events, because honestly, I hate networking events because everyone there just wants to take.
Something that benefits them.
Yeah,
That's
exactly.
how they feel, right?
Exactly. I would rather attend a regular event. Like, I would rather event just a regular like event around a hobby, like you said, or a workshop, like that there is a goal, not necessarily like, oh, this is a networking event, because networking events, it's assumed that everyone wants to get business, and the energy is just like all takers sometimes.
Very transactional. That's also what I do. So yeah, it's a good breather to be that different and make that impression that you're really interested and you're human.
Yes, exactly. And people, you know, that flatters people. Like, here's something easy. For men, they love to be flattered based on something that's related to an achievement. So even if you tell a guy, oh my God, you have the loudest farts ever, oh my God, that you will make that guy stay, honestly.
Oh my
Or you can tell him like, oh my God, did you finish? Like 24 chicken wings under 5 minutes. That is insane.
That's
I
sick.
tell you, that guy, that's gonna make his day. That's gonna make his day. So anything related to achievement, honestly, even if it's something stupid, even if it's honestly, if it's stupid, it might be more fun and he will love you more. But for women,
Yeah, I'm curious. What about for women?
take a guess. What is the best compliment that you get from someone you just meet?
Maybe their looks, like the effort.
Exactly.
Oh,
Exactly. So if you can compliment a woman anything related to her looks, your
okay.
skin looks good today, your eyebrows look amazing. Are those your natural lashes?
Oh, I'm
Yeah. How is
learning.
your hair not frizzy in this humidity? Oh my God, you're so skinny. How can you eat 24 chicken wings? So see, we're using the chicken wings in two ways. If this is a
I
guy, you
love
have to say, how did you eat 24 chicken wings under 5 minutes? That's insane. You should be in the Olympics of chicken wings. That is a good
that.
compliment. Oh my God, any guy will love you for that. If it's a
Yeah.
girl, how could you be that skinny eating 24 chicken wings? Girl, what are you doing? How are you this
Yeah.
sexy? Diba?
I compliment her with the way she eats the chicken. Oh, you eat it so demure.
Yes, very demure. And yeah, that for me, that is an easy, like if I meet a guy, I would find something to compliment him, like achievement. Sometimes I even flatter them together if it's a couple, like good for you for like, you know, bagging this super hot girl. That is two for one
Oh,
compliment. It's an achievement for
very
him and you're
cute.
complimenting her looks.
I love that. I love that. What about for you? If I may ask a question, what's the compliment you've received so far in networking that really stood up the most? Like the.
Honestly, I will be vain here. I will be vain. My favorite compliment is if someone appreciates the things that I don't think people appreciate me for. So, because I'm extroverted, I get compliments about, oh, you're so funny, do you have something like that? I love making jokes. And yes, that is flattering. But if someone says that they remember this story from my childhood, or they remember this little quote that they heard in my podcast, or something that I said years ago, that is the best compliment for me, because it's like a connection. It's like, wow, I haven't talked to you, but I feel so connected to you. And I think for me as a storyteller, that is our finish line. Like, I want to be remembered for my stories. And of course, as a woman, it's nice to get complimented on my looks and like, how do you not have wrinkles and you're like in your late 30s almost? That is very flattering, but honestly, nothing beats like if someone quotes back like a podcast episode or something that I post or something that inspired them to change something in their life. That is the best. What about you, Hannah?
Well, I haven't gotten much into networking events, but most of the approach that I've received so far is like my smile. And
Oh, I see
maybe
it. I see it.
start as well with my curly hair here when we're networking.
Yes.
So yeah, it's usual the outward appearance. But I remember going back with what you said. I remember the first time I saw you in the
Oh,
gym.
at the
That's a
That's great.
really good example of like how I approach it, because I know that you've made an impact as well in my life. So I'm like,
Yeah,
are
that made my
you?
day, honestly.
Yeah, that made
Honestly.
my day too. I felt so shy approaching. I've never done that before, but I know I'm like, screw it. If she's gonna snub me, okay, but not.
Imagine.
Yeah, but
No,
because
girl. You
yeah, no.
approach the ultimate extrovert at the gym. So, yeah. I just remember that moment. So, to give you guys a little bit of background, Hannah and I are in love and obsessed with this one building in Mandaluyong. I sound like a real estate agent, but seriously, this building is the best location. Great services, 5-star amenities, and amazing views. So I didn't know that she lived there. We probably kind of know that we live there, but in passing lang on our Instagram. So we followed each other. And then one day we finally met at the gym. And I remember I was alone. And then when I went home, I talked to Alex. He was working all night, so he was sleeping at that time. And then he woke up. And then I told him, oh my God, I just met someone at the gym, and I just love her story, and that really made my day. But that kind of connection is very, like, I'll remember that forever, to be honest. So I guess I'm sharing that to encourage our listeners that if there's someone in your life that inspires you, tell them, because in there will be days that I feel down, unmotivated, or I have a bad client that makes me feel like shit. I remember certain moments like that. Maybe not that moment specifically, but those little things keep someone going. And it's really good to make those connections and to let it be known. So don't be shy, guys.
I'm glad I did that. That was nerve-wracking, but I'm so excited. Yeah, that was me overcoming my fear.
I love that. I love that. So you are an AI gal and you're a connection gal as well. So tell us about some tools that you recommend for introverts to help them show up for their business on social media. What are some of your favorites?
These are the tools that I personally use. So I use HeyGen and 11 Labs personally. And with the right, like, do I have a team myself that, okay, I like filming B-rolls, right? So I don't know if it's just me, but most girls, I think also they just like filming little snippets of their food, of their selves, whatever is going on in their life. They're going to the gym or when they just look pretty. I'm the type of girl, so I have this multitude of B-rolls in my phone and I organize them in a certain category. It's like I have a category if I look like I'm celebrating something, like mundane moments. What else? If I'm on my work behind the scenes. Also, when I feel dramatic, like if I feel sad, I'm like, I want to emote but with camera. So it's gonna be recorded. Yeah, all those things, it's categorized, so we write systems. So my editor will know which part of B-rolls it will incorporate together with my AI clone, because I want my video to look as human as well as possible, because AI should not replace you, but it should elevate what you're
Right.
actually, it should complement what you're trying to build. So That's my stand on that. So I don't particularly just replace 100% of my personal videos
Right.
of, yeah. But with the right system, you can just like let someone else do it for you. CapCut, 11 Labs, those are the tools I use.
I love that. So if you guys feel intimidated checking out 11 Labs, HeyGen, and what was the other CapCut? If you feel
CapCut.
intimidated like juggling these tools around, just talk to Hannah. They make it super easy. They made it super cheap actually to do it that even I have invested in it because it's such a good experience to just have someone walk you through how to use these tools. Honestly, is so priceless. To add to that, I would add Opus Clip, OPUS. For me, it's a good service as well for clipping long videos and AI, using AI to find hooks in these long videos. So there's a ton of tools now that can help you, but of course, it still needs the how do I say this? The discernment of a human to pick what are these key moments that needs to be cut into content and to have the highest chance of going viral or getting as many views as possible. Because ultimately, marketing for your business is making it known to as many people as possible what solution you provide. So for me, if you are not operating in that mission, you're not doing marketing correctly. So thank you for sharing those tools, Hannah. I think that will really, really help a lot of people that are curious. And I'm sure that once they really dive in, they will find that it is a lot of work and it's always better to just leave it to the experts like you. So, circling back and like tying in everything that we have discussed, in your opinion, how do introverts build a personal brand when the world seems to reward loud, extroverted personalities?
Ooh, I personally believe it's by owning their depth, their message, their story. Because being loud doesn't also means you're always right, you know? But loud gets attention. But for me, it's depth that creates loyalty and the authenticity that's in with it. Either if you're feeling awkward in the camera, people can feel that cringe, but it's the message and that's the authenticity energy of you that AI can't replace. So when introverts tell their truth, even in fewer words, people remember. So again, it's for me, it's the depth.
I love that. I love that. It's the depth and it's also the connection of like, are you even talking to the right people? Are you in front of the right people? So this is another like marketing layer because the right thought and the right people and even like the right timing, it doesn't matter how big your audience is. You can, and honestly, you don't really need a lot of people to succeed in business. Like if you have an offer that's $500 to $1,000 a month, you only need like 10 to 20 to have a good life. Of course, if you have bigger dreams, go for it. But what I'm saying is for most people who just want to earn like an honest living and be able to have a vacation, be able to afford their home and be able to not feel threatened by one hospital bill, I think that introverts are not losing in this game. They still have a lot of options, and you're right, like it's the depth of the connection.
If I may add to that,
Yeah.
Carla, I also want to share that it's also really about their story. Because
I
either
love that.
or an extrovert, your story is really uniquely about you and the journey that you
Yeah.
have in
Yeah.
your life. And in that story, everyone can, not everyone, but the specific people that will be the right people who will work with you are the people you will attract when you show up with that story that you own. So you also gotta own that story. And yeah, with AI, AI can help you share that story. I believe I've created this chatbot that I shared with you that it actually helps you recreate the framework of your story that's gonna be, attention retaining because attention is the new currency and being viral actually. It's not just pure luck, it's also science.
Right.
So you have to understand the right format and framework. So just knowing your story, if they want the chatbot. They could just message me on my Instagram. I give it for free. So
Wow.
yeah, I give it for free. So they could just message me on my Instagram. And yeah, it will help you generate the script. I have a few friends here in Bali that use that chatbot and they find it very useful. And I'm glad they are trying to share their story because it's really what will set you apart from the rest of the loud voices out there.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, you're right. Like sharing your story is really important because in the world of like so many options, especially online, people really choose the person that they resonate with, and it really makes a huge difference to tell your
Yeah.
story. And you know, like what we've been discussing here, you can tell your story without you having to do it all by yourself. You can have the assistance of AI to do that. And Hannah is also generously, thank you so much, sharing her GPT for developing hooks and developing ideas and just to really refine your voice better. At the end of the day, it's a science. I'm a trained journalist and a blogger, and I've been doing media work. I had a radio show when I was in college. I've been doing media work, not as my main profession, but as something that I've always tried to build throughout the years as a skill. And now I'm a content creator for my own business, right? So I think that all of those learnings can be learned and accelerated with AI. And you now have a lot of help and options with AI. So we're really grateful for that. So thank you so much, Hannah, for sharing everything that you've shared. Super valuable. I know so many people would love to check out what you're doing, follow your Bali life, follow all of your beautiful stories about matcha, the beach, going to church, all of the flowers. I love watching your feed. Tell them how they can find you.
Oh, you guys can find me on Instagram. It's Hannah Blancas. I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn, YouTube not yet, but it's just Hannah Blancas everywhere. So I would love to connect. Just message me about, hey, where's my free chat button? And I will
Just
absolutely give
yell at
it.
her.
Yeah. Just, hey, where's my chat button? Give it with pleasure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thank you. So that's Hannah, HANNAH, Blancas, BLANCAS. You can find her everywhere. She's been very visible despite being an ambivert and having her downtime. It's not the end for all of you introverts out there. There's still a lot of ways to market your business, and Hannah has some answers and super affordable solutions for you. So we're going to link her Instagram, LinkedIn, and her website so you can check her out. And I hope that you guys can be one of her 20 beta testers for their super affordable program. You get 10 videos for under $200 a month. And it's such a good way to bank your videos, even for the next year. Like, honestly, what if you can get all of your reels done for next year and you can publish, you have enough to publish one each week or twice each week? That would just be one of the best gifts you can give yourself. So, thank you so much, Hannah. And to all of you guys, thank you for listening. Definitely check out Hannah's work on the links listed in the show notes. Thank you, and see you in a few weeks for another episode of None of Your Business. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week, and remember, everything here is none of your business.